Our topic for today is going to be Tfilas Kelim, is the mitzvah of toveling, dipping new kelim that are used with food in a mikvah before use. Yeah. So we're going to discuss the sources of this mitzvah, whether it's a Torah law or whether it's a rabbinic law, and what differences there might be as a result, and then how to go about doing this, which kelim have to be titled. Okay, so the short answer for that question is only kelim that have to do with food, that are direct association with food. So that if you have let's say there are certain scissors that is used to cut paper, right? Its main use is to cut paper, but even though sometimes you do use it to cut, let's say, the tops of a banana, or even maybe to cut to pieces of chicken, but that's not its main use, and very, very rarely do people use it for that. So that a regular scissors would not have to be toga. Okay, so that there are some implements that might be similar between something that is used with food and something that isn't used with food. Maybe a scissors is the best example. So that's the difference. If it's used with food, it needs to be tovah. Okay, the source of this is in the war that was fought against Midian at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. The Jews took out they were told by Hashem, Nikom, Nikmas, Hashem, Me'is HaMidyonim. God told Moshe just before he passed away to do battle with the Midianites, and they took many spoils. And they were told at the end of that war, look at source number one, I'm pointing to it right now. It says, Kol davar asher yavo ba'esh, taviru ba'esh. Whatever can make it through fire, that would be to the exclusion of things that would be destroyed in fire. All of the kelim that you took as spoils from the Midianites, if it can go through fire, that's usually metal objects, possibly even glass objects. So purify it in fire. So that which can't go in fire, so you purify it in water.
So things like clay.
So clay is not what we're talking about here, but this is not limited to food items here, by the way. It could be you took a jacket from them. That's not going to go in fire. You have to tovel it, though, because it has tumas mace on it, and has possibly other tumas. Okay? So that which can go in fire, take it to fire. That which can go to water, put it in water. Now, that part of the pasuk is, according to many most Mefarshim, not talking about Tfilas Kelim, it's talking about kashering. And that teaches a very familiar law of kashering, which is you kasher it the way it became treif. If it became treif with direct association with fire, into a large cauldron of boiling water, it's not going to have the same effect. Right? So that which became very hot for Aish, you've got to put it through Aish. You hear it? Mm-hmm. That which became treif by cooking in water, so you cleanse it, you kasher it with water. Okay? That's the simplest shot of what this means. So that when if you're taking kalim, cooking kalim from Midianites, you've got to kasher it. However, this passage is also understood to teach that there is a tevila involved. Tahara involved. The Rishva explains it based on the Ushami that there's like a conversion involved that has to go through something which is Memsa. So it does say Ach b'mei nida yischata, which Rashi says means Gemara, but Zara says means water that a nida titles it. No, it's just the pasuk right here. So everything is about how you interpret this first pasuk here. So Tosfos in Yevamos and in Yuma points out that Tfilas Nida lo ksiv kra behedya v'Torah. Right? Look in the Torah. It says when a woman finishes Nida, 7 days after the start, she doesn't say that she should go to the mikvah.
Oh.
Who goes to the mikveh in the Torah? A Zava Gedola. Zava Gedola, the woman who sees 3 days in a row, below Es Nidasa, she goes to the mikveh after 7 clean days. So Tosfos says it's a Kal Vachomer, because Tumas Nida is more chamor than Tumas Zava Gedola. So if the Zava Gedola goes to the mikveh, the Nida is Im Shahanida Tovel Espa. Okay. The Tosfos Yishanim brings some other rise to this, but that's the and that's our pasuk. See, it says Ach b'mei nida yischata, ma'am shenida mitzaris. Okay. Now the Sefer Chassidim asks a really stark question. Which parsha do you see? This is b'midbar lamed aleph. That's Parshas Matos. That's where Moshe was commanded to do battle with the Midianites. Wait a second, this isn't the first war we've taken spoils from. We took spoils in Parsha Shlukas from Sichon and Og. Why weren't we taught then the laws of Tfilas Kalim and kashering the spoils? It's very, very remote to say that in Sichon and Og we didn't take any Kalim that had to do with food. If such Kalim were spoils of Midian, surely such Kalim was spoils of Sichon and Og. And Sichon and Og was a much greater, much bigger battle than Midian. So what do you think? Why weren't we told the laws of Tfilas Kalim when we were fighting against Sichon and Og, but we were taught the laws of Tfilas Kalim when we were fighting against Midian? Well, it's true that the war with Midian was fought as a result of Baal Peor. Why would that? So we have to purify it.
Well, no. If in that situation the Kalim is so salvageable, but you might think, if you took it to an idea, you might think either doesn't work in this case.
So there's a technicality here. The war with Sichon and Og ended up. Reuven and Gad.
Right.
So the war with Sichon and Og ended up, they could have just relinquished that land and said, okay, Sichon and Og went out to meet us in battle. Please, let's go to Khartoum. He knows no negotiations. Yeah. So Sichon and Og we didn't do that with Sichon and Og. We just said, we defeated you in battle. We're keeping your land. What would have happened if Reuven and Gad didn't ask for that land? Yeah, we would have kind of just distributed it amongst the tribes. So there's a Rashi that captures this essence and Kishon Chalkas Mechokek Safun, that technically speaking, Moshe did land up in Israel. He landed up in the land inhabited by Shevet Gad. So he did technically speaking live in a place with it. All right, but there's also other mitzvahs, baaretz, kedushas eretz Yisrael. How much did it apply to Eber Yarden? I'll leave that for another time. But we know very Gemara in Holland that any war that was involved with the land of Israel, kashrus laws were suspended. I feel kostly the chaziri, but the Malayim called turf. I feel Zion and Mitzvah is full and famous. That's right. I'll take the Gemara's word for it. Is that the laws of Trumas and Maestras, various laws of Kashrus did not apply during Kibush Haaretz, and some say even during Chiluk Haaretz. So this is before the war with Midian was not part of Eretz Yisrael. Right. It was a purely a war of Nekama. It was the Baal Peor. And therefore the regular laws of Biza apply, and to kasher out those kalim, but it didn't apply before you.
That also applied to the Muhammad's Rishus, Muhammad's Mitzvah.
Well, if the Muhammad's Rishus, if you just want to say, let's go out to New Zealand. Let's go to New Zealand and save some Jews that are in danger there. That's different. If you want to expand the gvulos, and that's called the Muhammad's Rishus, but that's still called Kibush Haaretz.
That's not Muhammad's Rishus.
So this is derived from what appears to be a stira in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. Yehoshua says, Kol makom asher tidrok kaf ragochem. It's actually a stira in two pesukim in the Torah. Parshas Ekev, it says, wherever you go in your conquest of the land, that's going to be Israel. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. And then afterwards, then the Torah gives you specific areas to conquer. So which one is it? So you can say, okay, these specific areas you have to. That's the minimum. After that, you want to go further, go further. But then it's still... So then there's a famous machlokas about David the Melech, whether it's called Kibush Yochid, Shmei Kibush or not, whether some of the lands that David conquered have a din of a full din d'oraisa of Eretz Yisrael or not. Martin's beginning of Masech HaShavuah sets up these parameters. So I would say that, you know, such a battle to enhance the borders might be called, strictly speaking, Milchemes Rishus, but it would still apply to this. Still be the same.
Suspension.
So that's why we didn't have to teach the laws of Pilas Kalim or Kashrin, those utensils for the time being. There's a Gemara, and it's in the same daf, that says that in the desert, according to Rabbi Akiva, if you shechted meat, you took a knife to the neck, it had to be at the Ohel Moed. But you could eat meat that wasn't shechted. How? You choked it. But basan chira. So because in the Midbar, basan chira was mutter, according to that shita. It's just that if you shechted it, that had sounded like a korban that had to be taken to the Ohel Moed. So the Gemara asks, basan chira shenichnesu b'Eretz Yisrael, mai? What if they took choked meat 2 weeks before they entered the land of Israel and they salted it and they tanned it and they brought it into Israel? Could they eat that?
So the Rosh
says, Rosh discusses, is this just a historical question or does it have Nagia Lahalacha? The Rosh gives a whole bunch of cases. Says there were times in Europe where they make Xeris on certain foods. Right. Let's say at a certain time they made a gzeira gvina zakum. So what if I had gvina zakum the day before that gzeira, and now they make a gzeira? Is my gvina zakum grandfathered in or not? So we generally say in halacha that you get your grandfather clauses work. Right? If Moshe's parents were standing in Har Sinai, they weren't, they had passed away by that time. But if they were standing in Har Sinai, aghast at hearing that a man may not marry his aunt, and they're looking at each other and saying, oh, they wouldn't have to worry. That kiddushin took place already.
Another thing with Moshe's narrative when Aaron came to Israel, he left him man.
Fair enough. Okay, this is what we get from a lot of tangents here.
Torah,
yes, correct. So the main nidah is that it has to be dafka in the mikvah. Okay. Now, there is a Gemara Bava Kama that says that Mayim She'uvim is a Drabanan. Big sheet, big chiddush, right? Mayim, you know what I mean by that, Chad? That you can't just take a big bathtub and fill it with water. It has to be collected naturally. And once you reach a certain amount, then you can add a shaka, you can add more non-rain water, more natural water. So, but here this might have an afkamina whether we think that this din is a deraisa or a drabana. Right now, I'm learning it as if though it's a deraisa, deriving this from the pasuk. Look at Rashi, achmenida, source number two. Right, lefi pshuto, chitui ze letahar mitumas meis. Right? It says, Tavir ba'esh v'toher. Why does he say that? That's how I explained it at the outset. Because when you take all these articles from the Midianites, you know, there's chal cherev, there you're taking off shirts and uniforms from the like when Shimon and Levi and Shem, right? You're taking off their kelim. It's tumas meis. All right, so that which can go in the fire, like metal objects, take it in the fire. But you're not gonna mitahir a shirt. You're not gonna mitahir a coat in fire, right? You can destroy it. So you have to toivel in water. So that's it.
Now you have a dinner.
The leniency of Gentiles in Tumas Meis is only by Ohel. They do have Tumas Mega.
So if you went to the National Cemetery,
there could be some Jewish cemeteries there, but the answer is no, because it's not. There's no Tumas Mega there. Big time Tumas Ohel, but it's not Tumas Mega. Tumas Ohel is where there's a mace in this room, and we all share a common ceiling, whether it's Madison Square Garden or a small room like this, or that you are ma'ahil over a mace, right? By stepping over down on the ground. So if it's bachal, I mean, we learn that from bachal al cherev. Ma'cherev is tamei, bachal al is tamei, the cherev that touches him is tamei.
Right.
If it's metal. In other words, this is a cherem, and this is a mace.
So if
the tumah goes through the cherem into my hand. Yes, so the heter that we give now starts with the rivid, that since we're all tumei mesim anyway, we don't have ashes of paraduma, so it's now like in the framework of the drabanan. So once something becomes a drabanan, then the heterim. Easier to find because it's not a real chavta shal iser. It's so if there's an abiding and an important reason to be matir this thing, so we can have more Jewish doctors or whatever it is, then we'll allow. Okay, so Rashi says what I said about 15 minutes ago, which is lefi pshuto chitu izel letahar mitzumis meis. You see that towards the bottom?
Yeah.
Amar lahem. Srichim hakelim giul l'taharan min ha'iser, chitui l'taharan min hatuma, because there are two different things going on here. Right? If a Gentile is wearing a shirt, I don't have to do anything beyond tahara to this shirt. But if I'm taking the Gentile's pot, then I have not only a tumah and tahara issue to worry about, I have a kashrus issue to worry about, which is why we're doing this. You got it? This is somewhat connected to why we have a minhag of eating dairy foods. With dairy foods, you can make cold. So meat foods, you have to heat up. So the heating process would release bleos of milchix and fleishix from your kelim. But if you have milchix, problem with the grandfather clause is that, okay, I finish eating this cheese, I finish eating whatever now grandfather, but with the kelim. And I know you can have a teretz what I'm about to say, but the kelim is like an ongoing thing. This kli is going to continue being, you know, but I understand that the Gemara in Mizvachim, it's amazing how Shas just is so, is Nagmar Nazir on this, it's so wonderful. Gemara in Mizvachim asks a pashut question. How could I ever cook kachim in the pots in the Beis HaMikdash? Yesterday's chakas is no sir today. It's pigul, And it's pickle because that's my kavana, and I know it in advance. So every day is a problem. So the Gemara says, "Kol yom nase giul liyom shalafano." Every day that I cook this, so because midoraisa, how much of yesterday's chatas is coming into today's pot? I mean, this is essentially why we need separate pots, right?
Right.
How much is coming in? An appreciable amount? Some bleos from the inside of the pot, right? Midoraisa, bitol is barov. Even in the Beis HaMikdash. Everything is from this week's parsha. Midoraisa, not only is the minority in a Beis Din butl berov,
right?
We say that in order to convict the death penalty, you need a little supermajority, 13 to 10, right? 12 guilty, 11 innocent, acquits. But it's a limud, fair enough. But just as a majority of a minority of dayanim, basically, right? Don't say, well, it was 13 to 10. No, you say this Beis Din of 23 acquitted, right? Just as a minority of chatas blios is bottle.
They're going to add a knot or anything separate.
So, kachim is never bottle for that. It's interesting, but that's the midrabban. So
you have to pack everything then.
Yeah. So that's why you can say kol yom nasigil the yom shalafon. Every day is halakha golas kalim. Even though I'm not cooking. I'm not kashering each cauldron out with water. No. I'm kashering it out with tomorrow's tapas in it.
Right.
All right. So, where did we get the number 60 from? That's a din in nazir, because the Torah tells you to cook the zroah b'sheila, the cooked piece of the shoulder. So there were mashayer that this piece of peace has only one day to eat, but the shlomim you're cooking it with has 2 days to eat, so that's the same problem. So Gemara's Mishayer, oh, that little piece of the shoulder is less than 1/60th of the whole bigger piece. So Tosfos asks the obvious question, so then we should be able to bevatal nisu mechatchila. The Torah tells the Nazir to do that, right? So Gemara says, Eilanu el chidusho. You know, we just have this chiddush that the Torah tells the Nazir to cook these two things together, and that's how we come up to the number 60. There's the smaller one that were Mishayer. Higher is the 60th of the bigger one. That's what we get. Now, it does seem to be that a lot of things are bottled with shishim, like the 60 is like a nullified amount. Okay, but I'm not going to get into that now. All right, so you have two things here. You have tumah to tahara, but you also have treif to kosher food. Rabbi was saying dosha mikan. See it? And towards the middle. Yeah, about right here. Okay, Rabbi Seinu Darshu Mikan, Sha'af Lach Shiran Mina Iser, it in Tvila Lukli Masfos. The rabbis, so that's, is Rashi saying to, I'm not, that doesn't necessarily mean that this is Drabana. No, Rashi holds that Tvila's Kelim is the Raisa. Rabbi Seinu Darshu means it's a Drashu Gemura from the Pasuk. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right? I'm saying the Dorshu that Totafos is four batim. So four batim is the Raisa. Right? Shaflach Shirmina Isser Hatim Tvila Limasos. Umay Nida Haksuvim Khan. Dorshu, Mayim Haruim Litvol Bahem Nida. Kamahim Abayim Sa. Okay, so Gemara at the very end of Mesechus Avodah Zarah. Okay, let's turn the page. Okay. Okay, so what kind of kalim? So the Mishnah says, "Halokeach kli tashmish min agoy es shedarko lahak bil yagbil lahagil yagil labin beur yilabin beur." So first, the Mishnah is saying, the first thing you have to do is to kasher it. So this is normative halacha. If you buy, let's say, at a garage sale, some kind of pot or some kind of silverware or something. So that silverware is going to need two things. It's going to need kashering, and it's going to need tefillah. Do the kashering first. If you did the tefillah first, what do you think? Should you have to tovel it again? Is it possible that the need for kashering is like some kind of a chatzitza for the tefillah? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like the wings. Yeah, be a chatzitza. No, nobody's going to say that. But the order that we tend to do is because this Mishnah, it says, first take care of the Isser. Right?
Well, it makes sense.
And then take care of converting it. And sur merov ase tov. Okay, and the nachamina about the type of kli, let's use, for example, and you open up your oven to put usually what are you putting in there? A pot or a pan, right? What's the pan sitting on? A grate, right? Some kind of a grate inside the oven. Now, do you ever put food right on that grate? Right? Chad, so you maybe just put a slice of pizza right on it, it gets nice and crisp.
Yeah.
All right, but be careful, because once food touches that very thing, it's going to really get milchik. No, it's going to get milchik. You put pizza right on that because it's hot. It gets very hot in there. It gets 400, 500 degrees. Sometimes it's direct. You know, you can broil it and see the fire. So you have to be very careful with that. But okay, if you're putting food right on that grate, get the crispy, you're putting a big piece of fish or something, I don't know, whatever it is. I mean, you have to be careful because juice is going to melt, it's going to drip down. You have to make sure. So a big piece of challah, right?
And there's also the issue of just like, if you designate the oven for one thing, you have to cover so steam doesn't.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. So
it becomes a problem. Most of us have one oven. You know, it's just.
I would very strongly suggest not to do anything like that. Right. But the reason why I'm mentioning it is that if you do, not only do you have to worry about milchik and fleishik issues, you have to tovel that grate. Because that grate then becomes a pan.
Rabbi, I have a question. You're raising something really important. Let's say we're kashering the oven for Pesach. We have to get separate grates for Pesach, or it's possible to clean them well and then kasher them by putting it in, you know, that self-clean cycle.
Whatever is inside an oven that goes through and lasts through a self-cleaning cycle is now kosher l'Pesach.
Okay, thanks. That's what I wanted to know. Okay.
That cleaning cycle in the modern ovens is so absolutely a libun gamur. It's like 900 degrees in there. Yeah. It's absolutely what we call a libun gamur. Some ovens will even instruct you that what you can do is put in the grates that are on top of the stove, those four grates. And some others, it gets so hot that those grates will start to melt.
Will get warped, right. Okay.
Yeah, because the heat on the top of the stove doesn't ever get that hot.
I think we have to move it, you know, like if it's the part that's touching the grate.
Yeah, but it gets so hot that it's. But full disclosure, we have got an oven with two of everything, and we just exchange them for pizza. And it's very easy to order if you buy a new oven, just get two of everything. That comes out. That doesn't get attached to the oven and its workings. And then you have the four grates. That was very easy to replace. And you know, you still have to heat things up a little bit, but this way you don't have to worry about what Chad just mentioned. Also.
That's not knives also.
I don't think so.
Probably not. Hey,
clean it. It's not. You don't need a lid on it. Okay, so be careful, because if food goes right on those grates or whatever else is in the oven, then that thing has either have its own koshering challenges, but it'll have to be toveled. You don't have to tovel it if you never do that, because it's not directly used with food. It's used directly with the pot, which the pot has to be toveled. Food is put in the pot. Okay, Mike. So the Gemara says Tana is top of 146. We're here in this Gemara. The Kulan Trichim Tefila Barim saw Menani Mili. Where do we know? Where do we derive that all these things need Tefila? Marava Demarqa called the Barisha Yevo Ba'ish Tavir Ba'ish V'Tahir Osif Locha Kasut. Hey, they have it. Rava's interpretation is that this pasuk is referring to two different types of tahara, one from kashrus, one from tumah. Okay,
but does that mean that you don't have them used for food?
Yes, we'll see that's coming up. But the Gemara doesn't tell us why it needs to be told. Shalom, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Tzrich Lahatbil לפי שיוצא מטומאס הנוכרי ונכנסו לקדושת ישראל. Okay? Sort of like a conversion. Is the Truma Sadesh at the bottom? Okay. Okay.
Does that make you bought to find some from Jewish working people wouldn't have to?
So it depends who that Jewish storekeeper boy from, but there are some, I'm told, some, let's say, Hatsorfim, some of the silver you might get in Israel, silverware, silver cups. That's totally under Jewish auspices and don't have to be tough altar. And usually they will write that into the product.
Oh. How
about
they have to have a
mikvah
on premises?
Yeah, of course. Gene Sons used to have, my daughter lives in a town, a Kayla mikvah, not 50 feet from her house. Big Kayla mikvah. Amazing to live in a place like that. It's like it's, yeah. We build. It's easy for everybody, but it could be dangerous maybe for kids on Shabbos, you know, going in there. Okay, so, all right, so it's like a spiritual development for our Kalim, right? Truma Zadeshan is asked the question, can I give a katan, a kli, to Tovel? Now, katan means anyone who's not yet bar or bas mitzvah. Right? He thinks not.
I think not at all.
Yeah, he says not.
What about the gadol over
the same? Yeah, then he does have a maisa, but he doesn't have a machshava. In other words, certain things need kavana in order to change a status. Certain things don't need them. If you can train, let's say, train a monkey to push a vacuum cleaner, and you can clean for Pesach. Right? If you can train a monkey it's nafka mina. What's the mitzvah? That I have to put a safety fence around my roof so that no one slips? Or that a parapet has to be placed there? The answer is the second one. So there's no din of hiddur mitzvah. I don't have to get a nice looking fence. I don't have to use a nice looking vacuum cleaner to clean for Pesach. No, because it's not the maisa. When it's the maisa, then I have to do a nice bris milah. I have to do a nice lulav and esrog. But and then shlichus becomes an issue also. But for the whole thing is that the thing has to get done, right? So tefillas kelim is what if the kli just fell off by itself, fell off the cupboard, right into the water, into the mikvah, and so there for a human, you have to have at least some kind of knowledge that Mara does say a woman who falls into the water, you know, and she'd be like, oh, no convenience. It's time for me to go to the mikvah. That's fine. Right? Anyway, so here he says that he does not think that a katan taking something to the mikvah removes it from its status. Today there might be a nafkamina with surveillance. That if surveillance shows that the katan did do the tefillah. In other words, he doesn't have the nemunah. Yes. So the Gemara is surveillance is a lot of dinner about it. I don't think Rabbi Jacker is talking about this, but maybe. Oh, and the Shabbos. Because I know the OU does allow certain surveillance issues to bolster, kashrus, yotzei v'nichnas, and mirsas. That if the person knows this, that he's being surveilled at every moment, it'll have the same mirsas as if though there was a mashkiach to me.
Is it not that there's a camera and people can look at it, women's question that go back to the security to take?
Right. That's what we're saying.
That's something like, you know, it's security is really supposed to monitor it.
So a child, the commissioner says, can do shechita as long as someone's watching over and making sure he didn't do anything wrong. Right, so it's the for shechita. Of course, it's a maisa, but it has to be a maisa by a bar zvicha, by someone who knows what he's doing, but also has to eat kosher too. A Gentile who's perfectly trained in Shemitah or perfectly trained in calligraphy does not get to write a kosher Sefer Torah, nor does he get to make an animal the Shemitah, even though it's a perfect mice of Shemitah.
Right.
Right.
Does the Kohen have to know that the camera is on? Or is it up the is on here? He's not aware of
that. I don't think it's enough Kohen. Okay, so the Trumas Adeshen says not to use a katan for Tfilas Kalim because it's a Doraisa. So does that mean that according to the Trumas Adeshen's Svara, what about these other poskim? Take a look at source number 6. Here's the Rambam. Okay, because based on the Rambam, it says Tfila Zu Shemat Bilin Kli Asuda and Nilkach Min Agoyim. Big departure, right? Okay, very mashiach Torah. The Rambam says that the tefillas kelim for suuda for meal food items is midrabanan. Remez lo kol davar sheyavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh v'tahir. Says remez mipi ashmu alamdu. Pasuk is talking about removing it from kashrus issue. Lo midetum. Shein l'chatuma ola al yedei ha'esh. It said, but take it through fire. There's no tuma that is removed from fire. Only one tumah that accepts fire is our neshamas in something called Gehenna. And since we're a klicheres, there's nothing in this world that can give us the ultimate tumah. That's to have the fire. Okay, that's what we all have to do it. All right. So the Rambam says something really quite astonishing. How different it is than what we've been reading. Ein l'cha tumah ola al yedei ha'ish. Makes sense. No tumah. Where do you see a tumah? Tumah tzaras. Tumas mace. There's no tumah that leaves you. Now, of course, you wouldn't tell a person, run through a wreath of fire. It's called molech, and that's very awesome. But maybe kalim? Maybe kalim have to go through a fire? No, there's no such thing. This is not talking about tumah of tefillas kalim. It's talking about tumah of kashrus. Kashrus tumah, you know, does need fire sometimes. It always needs fire of some sort. The cholot mein betfila olin mitumas san betumas meis b'hazo betfila.
But you still call that tumah and not just iser in terms of kashrus.
Look, that could be. It could be that's the pshat that Rashi gives because it says taviru ba'esh v'toher. Good horror. Rashi's coming back and saying to the Rambam, yeah, I get it. Tavir Ba'esh seems to imply for kashrus concerns. But then why does it say the Toher afterwards?
The guy
that's not going
to have
a column today. That's true. The animals are called Torah.
Right.
So something that's kosher can be called as far. Okay. There's no fire in getting something to become tahor from tumah. So, which Chad just said, right? Because it says b'tahir in the pasuk. Rabbis felt that we have to derive this thing about, hello, doesn't that make it a daraisa? The Rambam says no. It's a smachta. Yeah, that's which midoraisa God told Moshe to take care of after the war with Midian was limited to kosher concerns, and whatever we derived, Rambam knows it's still drabanan, but it doesn't have an ikur midoraisa. As a remez in the pasuk. So the Shulchan Aruch Yodea, number 7, turn the page. Ein maminim kodon al tilas kid. Avonim ktfolo lifni gadol. Ave tfila, of course, because his maisa is a maisa. His machshava, without anyone knowing what's there, doesn't create a change in chazaka. But his maisa is definitely a maisa. Right? There's a lot of this. You see a lot of this. You know, maisa and machshava can have a very big difference in things, right? Let's say I put together slats of wood and I tie them together so that they can be used for schach to roll out, right? So that's a machshava that makes the mice of what I did be worthy for schach. But if I did the exact same action and I sewed these slats together so that I can roll it down, and then you see like you roll it down and it comes down and it's like a machitza in a doorway, right? Yeah. It's possible for schach. It's clean with kavatuma. My machshava made that first thing mekavatum, not mekavatum, since Roy the Schach. And the second one is the same exact item. That's why you can't just go into a Home Depot and buy those slats and use the Schach. I don't know how they were made, where they're made. They have to be made with the machshava, even by a goy, they have to be made with the machshava. That it's, the question is, can you mevatel an earlier machshava? And say, yes, so I was talking about that all the time.
They really have a Home Depot.
Yeah. No, no one's selling mass items to Home Depot for stock.
So we get bigger than Tyler.
You have to buy from a reliable place. You have to totally mevatel it from its.
Well, you get that kind of whole thing, or just buy one?
No, I think you have to really. So the Gemara talks about a ganef. You know, a ganef takes something, he can possibly acquire it with yush, and then he can he change the status of this thing. And, you know, it's interesting things.
That's a common.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the Taz writes number 8. Ein maminim katan lefisha tefilas kelim d'araisa. Tefilah lefni gadol also tefilah. Because everybody agrees shechita is d'oraisa, and if a katan shechts in front of the gadol says it's okay. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yosef in the Tshuva, this is pashut, and this is nafkamina. When you tovel your kelim in the mikvah, if you have glass and metal objects, don't make the bracha on the glass. Everybody agrees that glass is midrabanan. Okay, the kli you make the bracha on should be over la siyasan right before putting in a metal object. Okay, so in Vad Yosef is source number 9. It says mihu tefilas klis chuches lekulei amahavei rak midrabanan. Usfeka miyesh lachakel. If there's a suffix whether this glass object was made by Jews or not, and you maybe add to that a shasat chak. Okay.
You have to change the
bracha,
you have one metal object
in the record.
I'll tefillas Kalim.
So if you have one metal and everything else is glass, you say, Kalim? No, I think it's a great question, because in the end, you are toveling Kalim, even though only one of them needs it midoraisa. But I'm not familiar with the tshuva on the topic, but my sense would be that you can say Kalim. Here, as you see, line after 9, does the halacha of tefillas kelim cause food that is placed in a utensil owned by a Jew that has not been tovel to become forbidden as well?
Yeah.
Going to the Ramah, the answer is that although one does not violate, well, I'm sorry, one does violate a prohibition by using the utensil prior to tefillah, the food is not forbidden, whether it was placed or cooked inside. Okay. Because first of all, it may only be a smidur banan, and it doesn't. It's not blios of this. Even if you say it's the oraisa, it's a certain takana for
harchaka. What the transfer?
As opposed to, let's say, bishul akum does create a kashrus problem. In other words, a guy cooked eggs.
Right.
Eggs may not be an inyum because we learned that it's not Allah Shulchan Malachim. Maybe, I don't know. Do kings eat hard-boiled eggs? I don't know. But let's say he cooked steak. Steak could be big. He cooked some meatballs. I don't know. Something a king would eat. All right, but the reason why I like the example of eggs is because eggs are kosher. It's chicken eggs, and they're kosher. So if a guy cooked a kosher item in a kosher pot, but Bishalakum makes the food unkosher. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins to have to not only not eat the food that the guy cooked, but to have to kosher the kli that this kosher food was cooked in. A big chiddush. You hear that? Food is ostensibly kosher. So what am I koshering out? After you cook it with it. Okay. Okay, that's the Be'er Halacha. Take a look at the top of page 149.
Can you repeat that? If a guy cooked a kosher food in a vessel that was kosher, him cooking now renders, I understood about the egg, because of Bishul HaKam, is the vessel also the pot not kosher?
The vessel would have to be koshered out. Today we look for coolers in this and following, today, but it's from the Gemara, that if the food could be eaten raw, right? Some people eat raw eggs, but eggs gets it on the other end, is that it's not olal shulchan malachim.
I'm raising this because of issues. People have caretakers now in their house, right? Caretakers are not necessarily Jewish. And if you're not home working, they might be cooking, reheating stuff, or you left stuff that you prepped to cook it. I'm just thinking.
Right. Right. If the non-Jewish, if the Jewish person that they're caring for is totally infirmed and cannot have any connection to this, then maybe the Ramah is called upon. People use this Ramah, especially in restaurants, that if there is any kind of pilot light or even some kind of a gadget that it's continued from, then that's okay. Or if the Jew involved has anything to do with any part of the cooking, he stirred it for a minute, he turned on the fire, he made it higher and towards the end of the process, whatever, any one thing. Mr. Santi used to light a cigarette because he didn't have a smoke, but he would light a cigarette so he could throw it back into the fire and say, I'm contributing to the fire.
I'm thinking when my mother never had Alzheimer's and we had to run out and do errands and she had to be fed and there were caretakers that fed her. So now you're telling me that the whole house could be trace.
No, because our stoves generally have some kind of an element that they're not totally starting the process from scratch.
You know what? My sister, she has an electric stove, not gas. It complicates things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Didn't need to know.
Well, we can visit a specific question if you'd like. But
right.
But so here we are just the last lines. Vafa gab da avidi sura b'mash nishtamish b'avuli tefila. Filo hachem mishum zeh lo gozrin in shema yishaya. We're not worried that if he can eat something before tovling, that he's going to just go at it infinitum without ever tovling it. No, we'll take his advice. Now, what happens if, let's say this actually happened to me once, someone gave me a Kiddush cup during the week as a gift, and they were coming for Shabbos lunch, and I really wanted to use the Kiddush cup, but I had not tovled it. So what is the recourse? Can you use it without tovling? Is there a difference between whether using it with heat or whether using it with cold? Wasn't going to use it with heat, it was just going to use it cold. The answer to the question is no. No, tefillah has nothing to do with heat and cold. Right, but there is a caveat. You see, the reason why I have the Torah is because it belonged to a Gentile, and we didn't know where, you know, which silver store, whatever it is. So I have to, because I own it now. It was owned first by a Gentile, then I have to Torah it. But an item that is rented from a Gentile does not have to be Torah. But the caterers sometimes rent, you know, 400 spoons and then they rent from Marina Del Rey or something. They kosher it out, but they're not going to total it out every time. No, they don't have to because it's being rented from Marina. Being rented from the Rockley. These places aren't owned by Jews. So if it's rented, then you don't have to total it. So you go down to your doorman and you say, here, I want to give you a gift, right? Now, technically speaking, you can keep it and not give it back to me. But either, you know, he doesn't know. So I said, the doorman, you take this, it's yours. Can I borrow it? No, I don't have to title it. Oh, yeah, that's not, wouldn't be the strangest thing I've asked the guy to do it in my building. Okay, okay, all right, that covers us for this. There's a lot more determining ownership with respect to Tfilas Kelim, and there's some very technical things in this. It's very well done. So really simple.
Given that you can use it without feeling, if you have another option, you want to matter.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to start the next year with this, there's a tshuva of the Minchas Shlomo. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. I think one of his very first tshuvas is on certain elements of the Teirim and Shabbos and Tfilas Kelim, etc., in order to save someone from embarrassment. Okay, Mildred, have a great day.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Practical stuff like, you know, titling, like electric, you know, urns.
Yeah, the short answer for all that is anything that has an electrical element attached to the thing itself that you think needs titling. Don't tovel it.
First of all,
you'll ruin it. You may ruin it. Okay. And B, it could be dangerous at some point. The water gets stuck in there.
Getting a new Shabbos hot water urn. Do I have to tovel it?
Not if, like in mine, I have one. It's the element of electricity is attached to the urn.
Oh.
Yeah, they usually are.
I'm talking about
Tovel toasters and toaster ovens.
You tovel toaster ovens?
We don't, because the plug is attached to that.
Right. I'm saying it's also on the hot water, and the plug is part of the hot water.
Yeah, then don't tovel. If something comes out, like something that maybe you make coffee, or if something comes out, then that you can tovel.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Sorry to bring such lofty concepts.
This is wonderful. It's wonderful. Nothing's
but really,
better.
I do have a conversation because of what happened with my mother.
Yeah. So I would just tell you that it's certainly a concern because a lot of what goes on in these assistant people who offer these types of assistance. And have to be given advice, instructions in advance. And the person who's being served probably is free from these mitzvahs. It's all small blios anyway. The kalim themselves, you have something to talk about. Yeah.